It's
I agree.
easy to blame the company that you're
it's
at.
It's always
right?
easy to blame the company.
But a lot of times it's not the company. They're at a great company. They're at a company where people are closing 20, 30, 80, $100 million, right? Sometimes it's just the LO, and it's hard to look at yourself, right, and say, I'm the problem and not the company.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to another exciting episode of Lending Leadership with the Mortgage Pros. My name is Robert Filyaw, Managing Partner with HMA Mortgage. Excited to be joining my cohorts here, Tom Mills and Dave Holland. Hey fellas, how are y'all doing today?
What's going on?
Doing
man?
Great. I'm glad to be back.
Excited about the topic today. I wanted to kick this off. We're gonna be talking about a little bit about how do you know you're in the right place? How do you know you're in the right company? And I heard a really interesting statistic this week. I'm doing some coaching with Richard Milligan, who is probably the OG GOAT when it comes to recruiting and everything, all things building your team, right? And he shared a couple stats with me I'm going to share with you guys and kind of kick this conversation off. Did you guys know 29% of all originator moves happen in Q4? Kind of timely as we're coming into as we're in Q4 now. 22% of originators that produce $20 million or less will make a move, and 15% of originators that produce between 20 and 50 million will make a move. And so of those moves, 29% of all of them, almost a third, happen in the last quarter of the year. What do you guys think of that?
Well, the fourth quarter number is not shocking to me. That makes sense, right? Business is usually a little slower in most parts of the country, the fourth quarter. But the fact that 22% of people closing 20 million or less move and 15%, 20 to 50 million in total move, that's a crazy stat to me that many people are unhappy. I wonder what that stat looks like 5 years ago or 6 years ago with people getting big signing bonuses and kind of getting stuck at their current spot.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly going to slow some people down from moving. I wonder, I think that while it has something to do with the time of the year, and I think you make the some LOs think make the move in Q4 to start the year off right and the next year. And I think that's a lot of times people are always looking ahead at that next year and waiting to get something started for the next year. And I think when they look at that, they should be looking at what are they putting in place right now and what are they doing right now to make sure that next year is a good, you know, a great year ahead. And ultimately, sometimes that means a move. But, you know, the average loan officers with their company, I think it's somewhere like 2.5 years. So
2.5 years. Yeah,
that's also 30% shocking.
Don't really surprise me because it's going to have to shake down to that.
Yeah, it's shocking, I think, especially for guys like us who focus so much on retention and you know, are blessed, right, with loan officers that are with us a long time and come in and really turn into family. So I think that, like, we kind of look at that 2.5 year number and kind of scratch our heads. I wonder, Tom, to your point, it's interesting. I wonder if, you know, some of these LOs just go into business planning and starting to prepare for the next year, mm-hmm. and kind of look at the year that they're ending and they're like, well, damn. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. And why is that? And, you know, maybe is there a better mousetrap? Is there something that I'm missing that I need to go out there and see if I can find?
It's easy to blame the company that you're at.
It's always easy to blame the company.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, there's a shiny object over here or the CRM's better. You know, I think sometimes LOs are at a bad company, bad leadership, bad tech, bad ops, whatever the case may be, high rates. But a lot of times it's not the company. They're at a great company. They're at a company where people are closing 20, 30, 80, $100 million, right? Sometimes just the LO. And it's hard to look at yourself, right, and say, I'm the problem and not the company.
Sure thing.
Well, I think the, you know, that's definitely hard, right? And I think that's where leadership comes in. It's interesting because I've seen this, right? You can be an LO and be at a great company, but it may not be the company for you. right? Sure. Like, and I think as an originator, this is one of the things I love about our business and I talk about all the time, right? There's no one way to do this. There's no one single way to skin a cat. You may be that originator that's like, I need every piece of tech, and that's how you do your business. You may be the originator that, wait for it, Dave, wants tons of flyers, right? And flyers are your business.
Flyers.
Are
the bread butter of your business. Let's spend the rest of the show talking about flyers and how it does.
You may be that originator that you've got to have the lowest cost on the street, right? So depending on really kind of how you're building your business and what you're looking to achieve and accomplish and tackle, I think is going to be part of, are you at the right shop or not? What is the right shop for you? Those are probably some good questions we should dive into.
Here's the thing, though. We could get granular as we want to get into this. And you mentioned tech and product and tools and rates and speed and automation and all these things play a role. But let's kind of, it really rolls down to two things. Loan officers want one of two things. They either want to make more money doing the exact same amount of work that they're doing, or they want to make the same amount of money doing less work, right? It's either you're like, I need to make more, or money's fine, I'm just burnt. And I think it really boils down to those two areas is what drives people to lead or think or leave or think that those solutions they have to move outside for them. And sometimes they do.
In the last 2.5 weird years have been weird for a lot of companies.
So weird.
We went from the highest of the highs to the lowest of the lows very quickly. People who were closing a lot of business, a lot of their business has been cut down by, in some cases, guys, what we've seen, 80%, 75, 80%. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree with you, Tom. It's make more money or do less work, especially for a more seasoned LO.
Yeah. We've seen some companies reinventing themselves too, you know, lost big key producers, but you know, many of them rebounded and brought big key producers in. And so it's a different cultural shift and you have different people working for different leaders. And, you know, I think a lot of that's happening. Kudos to the companies and the leaders that retained their sales force over the last couple of years. I would absolutely say that this is probably the toughest retention period that we've seen in a 24-month span. Absolutely.
Ever in the history of our business, the toughest retention span, right? Because people get frustrated. And to Dave's point, right, there's not a lot of looking inward. And the market's down and people want to have some sense of control over their business. And what's the thing that they can change? It's, well, where do I hang my shingle, right? Where am I working with? So that gives them some sense of control that they're going to be proactive and change their business, I think. So if you can work around that and retain your people, and if you have in this market, absolutely kudos to you, to those companies.
How does the LO know he's at him or her know that they're at the right place? I mean, that's a million-dollar question.
The flip side of that, I think, to dig into, and I'm interested to hear you guys, is what's your non-starters? How do you know when it's time to go? Like, what are the signs, right? It's going to be different for everybody, but there's some concretes out there, right? Mm-hmm. I know for me in the as I look back on any moves I've made, it was either A, operational challenges that did not get addressed and corrected, right? Difficulty closing loans, missing closing dates, things of that nature, or B, to Tom, like Tom's talking about being able to make more money by doing the same business. I was trying to implement things to build my team and I got railroaded. I got stuck. I wasn't allowed to, you know,
put that next
piece in. I couldn't scale. Exactly. So those two for me were kind of if those two things go sideways, I'm picking up the phone and having conversations.
Well, you know, with leadership of an organization too, so much was kind of swept under the rug the last couple of years. Leadership and ownership didn't want to talk about the issues and stuff like that. And I think sometimes with ownership, you want people who are heavily invested and have a big chunk of their net worth and life savings in the company, right?
Well, whether it's ownership,
they are all in. They are all
ownership
in.
Or leadership, or then sometimes the problem becomes the number of layers between all that, you know. But you know, as you guys know, I spend a lot of time talking to originators. I think I feel like I get a good temperature out there. And you know, one of the early on questions I like to ask is, you know, tell me about your relationship with your leadership. It'll tell me everything about if that person's going to move and be one of the ones that moves in the next 3 years or not. It tells everything about it. Now I hear a lot of, well, I was recruited by this guy, but then he got let go or he left and took this big chunk of production out. And then he tried to pull me to this company and I've been assigned to this other manager and, you know, he's cool. You know, we talked a few times, you know, but it, you can tell that they're not getting guided. They're not getting, you know, shot straight. They don't feel a partnership. And, you know, in this much more remote now time that we're in, loan officers have more independence, and not that good leadership micromanages that, but it's helping them. It's showing them a path. It's trying to pull them down that path. And I see a lot of people just unsure where to turn, kind of like squirrels right now, you know,
squirrels in the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, we talk about that too, right? I think this goes hand in hand. There's a severe lack of leadership in our industry, and you get these originators that are, you know, out on an island. They, you know, put their faith and trust in someone to make a move. And then they look up, that someone's gone, and they're kind of on an island and trying to figure it out on their own. And that's tough. That's a tough spot to be in.
I can't remember who said it, but over promise and never deliver, you know, between the tech, the leadership, the rates, a lot of people get a 90 or 180 day rate sheet where their rates pop up. I mean, that would be devastating if you came on board with a certain expectation and mm-hmm. then 6 months down the line, everything changes.
I'm curious about this. Why do recruiters and leaders in our industry pull this crap? Honestly,
once they bring them in the door, there's no accountability towards them. Right. So
Going to take it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've signed a 1 or 2 year contract, and we all know it's hard and emotional to move. So they think they got them by the hooks. I mean, ethically, that's just awful.
Horrible. I know one of the things we talk about, right? And it's true. Like, I've never recruited someone and blown smoke, because it doesn't, in our business, like, it doesn't take a real long time to be here and know that what I told you wasn't true and I blew smoke. And I'm accountable
to that. I have to look you in the eye again.
I'm not having that conversation. Yeah. Like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
So we touched on it. We got away from it a little bit. How do you know when you're in the right place?
I think so much of that is subjective in how you feel while you're there.
And some kind of it is gut, right? Some of it's feeling, right?
Some of it's gut, but some of it's introspection. And if you have a good leader, sales manager, ops leader, you can kind of get the feel from them, and they can give you a gut check as well too. Like, you know, hey, Robert, you're full of it. You know, tighten up a little bit, make some more calls.
I think, first of all, I mean, I'll say, if somebody's in these three areas, if somebody's in a position that they feel like they can grow, they can give amazing service, and they have balance in their life, they shouldn't consider leaving. There's no mm-hmm. amount of money a company can pay them, or no tech or nothing that they should be able to be sold on. Cause those three things, that's your harmony. And that means your whole, not just your business is good, like your life is good. When you can grow, it means you're making good money. You're providing a service. You're going to work. You're not stressed out. You're proud of what you're doing. And that's you're balanced, which means things at home are good, you know, and you're not a slave to your job. Don't change employers. Bottom line, mm-hmm. you're good.
Don't even take the call. Don't even open Pandora's box, because listen, it's going to, here's what I'd say all the time, right? Don't, if you're not looking to make a move, if you're not in a spot where you think, hey, I need to look at this, don't even open the door, because it's a distraction. If you are in a spot where you need to look at making a move, open the door fully, pick 4 or 5 places and start having conversations. Like, right. Like, I think that's important too.
I think too. I mean, you know, let's say, you know, you're a branch manager and you want to build a $500 million branch, right? Or let's say you're a loan officer and you're doing 30 million. You're on a path, like you got hard set goals to get to 100 million. I think if you don't look within the organization you're in and you see those success stories happening, the path is not there at your company, right? So you have to force pave that path there. You know, maybe there's a company that the path to 100 million, the path to a $500 million, the path from 0 to a $20 million producer, whatever it is, that path you want, they have those stories, you know, and the, that validation that like, hey, here's how it's done. Here's how we did it. Here's how such and such did it. And those two, those things are available to you. Follow that path, because it's probably easier than forcing it on your own if the path's not there where you
don't reinvent the wheel is what I hear, Tom, right? Don't reinvent the wheel.
Well, yeah. And make sure that we're, if that's the journey you want to go on, what, and we could go on so many tangents with this, right? Because first of all, you got to know where you want to go. Like you got to have a goal of what you're building to and what you, where you want to take your business, right? So we talked to so many LOs who have no idea, right? So that's where you got to start. But if you know, like if you're doing $3 million a month and you're an LO that wants to do $10 million a month and there's nobody at your company doing that, like that's something to look around, right? You're not going to reinvent the wheel, but the wheel is not at your company. You got to go to the company that's got the wheel that you can use, right? I use the analogy all the time with people that most originators that we talk to are really smart and they will figure it out over time.
Yeah.
But at what opportunity cost, at what stress cost, like, you're at the base of a forest with a machete in your hand and you got to chop through the other side. You're going to get there.
Yeah.
But you may, that next opportunity may have already pushed a road through, paved it, and have a Ferrari sitting there for you to jump in.
You know, when you look at that too, I mean, you know, looking at what a company has to offer, the people that are touching your loans, the resources that you're given, the success stories that they told you, which lured you there, like, how do they help you put that into action to create those same successes? You know, that's really what it comes down to. I feel like a lot of people I hear just like, you know, a lot of people just feel like they're in a kind of a stagnant environment. Like, you know,
stagnant a lot.
I think a lot of people have been told one thing by leadership, seen another, lost a little bit of trust, you know, looking around like, what are we doing? We're not growing. We're, you know, they're a little unsure. You see so many mergers and acquisitions happening today. And it's an uncertain time. I think that's also what makes people not move. Like that's some of the hesitation of like, I've seen, you know, originators are scared to make a move and then the company gets bought by another company, you know, that would be terrible. Cause you imagine that, guys, you make a move, you sell your referral partners, why this company is so great. And then 2 months later you wake up and there's a company call and you just got acquired.
I lived that. I worked for a company that got bought by a bank. Right. And as we're navigating those waters and figuring out, they got that bank up, bought by another bank.
Yeah. It's different when you've been with that group a long time, because you can be like, hey, it's the same people. Yeah, we're moving together. It's, you know, we got strong leadership type of thing. Yeah. But like, you know, it's like you're the new guy there and then you just got jerked around. And that's a tough one. But there's a lot of people that have been through that. And I think, you know, Dave, you said something earlier on in a call about people that took like big paychecks. And I think a lot of them like that's not what they're looking for this go around. That's not what they're looking for in their next home. They're not looking for the next 2 year contract. We aren't contract employees. I don't know what happened to our industry to where
it happened. What, a decade ago, 8 years ago? I don't know why
people like the legal red tape. Signing bonuses and then the non-solicits and the non-competes and the like, I've seen some crazy stuff out there, right? Stuff I would I'm like, did you even read this before you signed it? What were you thinking? Have you guys talked to anyone that took a large payday from one of the, let's be real, one of the bigger companies, right? We know they were just writing fat checks. Have you guys talked to anyone that was like, man, I'm really happy here. I'm really glad I took all this money and came here. I haven't talked to a single person. I'm sure they're out there. I'm not trying to poke the bear. I'm sure they exist. I have not met one that's like, yeah, I'm really happy here. And, you know, that money was just kind of the gravy on top. Everything else is amazing.
Everyone seems to be moderately happy or not happy at all and waiting for their contract to expire.
Well, look, when you took that money in early 22, like changes were going to happen. Your business also went, you know, down pretty significantly, you know? So, you know, I think that's been an unsettling time period for those people. Cause they came in and then, you know, the floor fell out on us and, you know, and changes happen. They're working through those changes with people that hadn't even established a trust with yet, you know, and that trust was lost. And then they're fighting from that day forward to gain it back. And you got them on a 2-year contract and the time is ticking, you know?
It's a lot of moving pieces all at once.
Yeah. You know, look, you don't retain when their time's up. You retain, I think leadership retains people by the little things they do every single day. You know, you don't just go into retention mode. You're always in retention mode. And as a leader, I recruit my own people first. We recruit our own people first, you know, because we put a lot into them. I'd rather not lose somebody than bring somebody else in, you know.
It's so much easier to keep the talent that you have and help them do an extra, you know, two or three units a month than to go out and get somebody to move. And, you know, we love doing that too, but it's like you got to take care of your people. That's leadership, right?
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about the average time that an LO moves, right? The 2.5 year mark or so. Is there any thought or conversation around you can be somewhere too long? Do you guys think that like there's a measurement where you're like, okay, I've been here 8 years. I need to go see what's out there because I've been here so long.
I don't think there's a time period, right? As Tom mentioned, if your business is good, you're balanced, your home life is good, you could be at the same company your entire career, right? But I think some companies, depending on their journey, sometimes may get a little stale, for lack of a better word. You know, that they need to refresh the entire operation. Unless there's growth and leadership within the organization, things can kind of fade away.
No, I agree. I think, you know, I think as originators, we have to be invigorated daily, right? Like we have to be motivated.
It's a hard job, right?
It's a hard job. And especially looking back on the last 2 years, like you literally, kudos to everyone out there listening who's still an originator, right? Who went through the last 2 years. When I tell you that it's the most difficult market that's ever existed in the mortgage lending space, I'm like, it's 100% the most difficult. I've been in this business over 20 years, you know, through the crash, the Great Recession, all of that. That what we have experienced the last 2 years is the most difficult market we've seen.
We've all been humbled.
And
no doubt,
those of you who have grinded it out and made it, kudos to you. You should be really proud of yourself because you got up every day and you went to work and you did what you needed to do while getting your teeth kicked in by the market, by no refis, by no purchase business, you know, by just all of it. And you persevered. So you should be proud of yourselves.
Well, and then there's those that are just in the survive till 25, but like some are thriving in 24, and extra kudos to those. Like, you know,
we see it
because I've seen some people having their best years. That's really inspirational. And I don't care if that person's been an originator for 2 years, or they just figured out how to turn it up in their 10th year of their career and have one of their best years in this year. Those stories are out there. I know some of those stories.
We've seen them.
Everyone can learn from those people. And what you always find is that, you know, you make a bigger deal out of things than they do. The rate game's not in their head. The, you know, somebody said, make X amount of dials, talk to X amount of people, it equals this. And they went and did that. And then like, oh my God, this works. And then they just went and did it again and again and again. And, you know, oh man, they're the soldiers out there in a really tough environment. And I think that's, they're just feeling that onward momentum, that the wind's behind your sails versus like pushing against it, is what I think a lot of people put themselves in a position this year.
And when I see people like that, it's honestly inspiring. It makes me think I need to double down and go after it. And grow.
I want to learn from that person. Tell me what you're doing. Like, I want to hear from them.
What are you doing? You're doing it for 18 months. What are you doing different?
I love it. So, you know, we talked about the checks, the sign on money kind of being a draw for people. And, you know, let's be real. That was probably for a lot of people who moved in late 21, early 22, that probably played a part in it. That's not really in the market as much now. We're not seeing it. What are you guys seeing that is kind of the differentiator that originators are looking for? They've said, okay, I can't scale here. I can't grow. I can't do the things. I don't have the balance. It's time for me to make a move. Here are the non-negotiables that I'm looking for as I make a move. What are you guys seeing that those things are?
What LO are we talking about? Are we talking about high producing LO? Or are we talking, you know, under 25 That's, million or over 25?
Does it matter? Are they different?
Yeah,
and if they are, let's put them in buckets and kick it around.
I mean, so, it does matter. Go ahead, Tom.
I think the higher level producer is looking to find a company that more gets behind them than them kind of get behind the company. You know, there's a big focus today on, the modern originator, creating your own brand, you know, and there's companies that support that, and there's those that don't. And then I think, you know, people went through that like change in companies, companies acquired, things like that. So they're a little sensitive to their name change. So they really want to, the Philly All Mortgage team, these brands have become more important to the larger producing teams. And then they want to see that path towards the next level that they're trying to get to. That's what I see on the
whatever that next level may be. But you see, with those higher producers, they have some target or some goal of where they want to drive to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Most top producers don't end up there by
it's not happenstance,
as we know.
Yeah. Dave, what are you seeing on the, you know, the smaller producers, let's say sub 20 million?
You know, some fuzzy things. It's hard to quantify. They're looking for energy. They're looking for someone to guide them. They're looking for someone to show them the way, right? You know, the conversations that I have are, how did you get here? Tell me what to do. So
goes back to that past predicts future, right? Like making sure there's examples of what you want to achieve.
Exactly. Yeah. They're looking and holding their hand isn't the right word, but they're really looking for someone to guide them and say, do this on Monday, do this on Tuesday, Wednesday, yeah. Thursday, Friday, makes X amount of calls. Here's who you call. They're looking. I mean, we look at all of our sales training, right? My sales training was, here's a telephone. Here's a 1003. Start making some calls, right? Fresh out of college, I had no idea. They're looking for someone, I mean, you know, novel idea, you know, show someone how to sell and show someone how to be a mortgage originator.
They're also looking for, they're looking for marketing support. Like your bigger producers, they have some, you know, built support within their teams, and then they make more money. So they're investing in certain aspects of their marketing. But the 3 to 5 loan a month originators trying to figure out how to market, and they realize they don't know how to. They realize they kind of need to. And look, guys, you guys see loan originators that post this video, that you see it on your scroll, and they got 4 hours into editing that thing. And, you know, they took 4 hours to post that 30, you know, second video that, you know, 78 people watched a quarter of.
Not a good use of their time.
No, we'd make call 40 people in that time. Good Lord. Like there's an easier path. And so I think that, you know, you can still make the calls, and there's other resources that other organizations have to help kind of solve that. But, you know, in the end of the day, like there's certain things that make us money, and hours and spending time doing video in the mortgage business doesn't relate. Doing video does relate. You have to be able to figure out how to do it efficiently, you know, whatever it is. You know, we have to figure out how we're focusing on what makes us money, you know, what makes that originator's business tick and grow and be doing that. And rarely that's the grunt work behind like marketing. It's more just, you know, getting out and executing on it.
What are you seeing out there, Robert?
Yeah. I mean, I think, it varies a little bit from LO to LO. I think it is important to talk about it kind of segmented by production, because what they're looking for, you know, is different. I think we've touched on a lot of it. You know, I think a lot of originators tend to focus on asking about product, right? And price.
What's your doctor's loan? Do you have a doctor's loan?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, tell me about your one-time close construction. Hey, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. How many of those did you close in the last 12 months? Well, zero. I haven't ever closed one, but I want to know, do you have it? Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that they do that because they don't know what else to do, what else to ask. Right. Maybe necessarily. It's like mm-hmm. when a client calls and says, hey, what's your interest rate? They don't care about the interest rate, honestly. What they really want to know is, what's my payment going to be? Mm-hmm. But all they know, like all what they've been taught to ask, is what's your rate? So that's what they ask. It's the same thing with, you know, with people when they start to make a move. So, you know, I think really looking at where you want to take your business, if you're out there thinking about making a move, really looking where you want to take your business and what is going to help you facilitate taking your business to wherever you want to go, is that the leadership that we've talked about, right? Is it scalability? Is it having that ops support, the marketing support that, that is kind of plug and play, right? It all comes back to a few basic things. And it's, what are you good at? What makes you money? What do you enjoy doing? If you can get your sphere of work to focus on those three things and everything else is kind of handled by someone else, you're going to have the balance. You're going to make the money. You're going to have all the things you're looking for. You have to determine what those are as you're looking and starting to have conversations to make a move. So I see a lot of people ask stuff that is what I would call details. Like, they're important, but it should not be the driver. And sometimes there's too much focus on that. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know, you touched on op support. I think the bigger producers want to know that they have someone they can go to and get their transactions done without a lot of drama. I mean, we're in an imperfect business because we're in a people business. So transactions are going to go sideways for a thousand different reasons, but it's how it's handled and executed and how quickly it's done.
Well, I think the great companies, the companies that retain, the companies that attract and retain, have figured that out and get this simple foundational principle to it, right? Like, if you're an originator and anytime there's a challenge on your loan, which we all know happens, right? That challenge falls back into your lap and you have to stop what you're doing and you have to figure it out and you have to get in the weeds on it. That equates business to problems in your mind and you're psychologically, right? Which is going to create an aversion to you and you going to get more business. You're going to think, the more deals I have, the more problems I have. I don't want deals because that equals problems. So
you're being punished for getting more transactions and being successful.
Yeah.
If so you don't have the right support.
If you don't have the right support. So with the companies that figure out that, hey, when that happens, we're going to engage and we're going to fix it for you. Now, listen, don't be putting crap in, right? But you got a support team behind you. Go get more business. That's like, those are the places that we see people excel and stay.
Yeah. You know, we probably could have took some of the four sections that we did in this talk and made it each of those a talk in and of itself.
Tom, that's a great idea, brother, for the next podcast.
But actually, so we should end on something. And since we're here to provide value and resources, Robert, I think a great way to end, you would ask the question, or you had said that loan officers don't know what questions to ask. Let's spitfire a few questions that they should ask if they're speaking to other companies or, you know, speaking to their own company about trying to, you know, determine, are they in the right place? What couple questions? Let's fire off, guys.
Here's one of my favorite. It's not a question, but if you're, before you join anywhere, anytime, you should randomly pick up the phone and call 4 to 5 loan officers that work at that company and have a conversation with them.
Absolutely.
And just have an open, frank, hey, I'm interested in looking at onboarding with your company. I'm an originator. I have some questions that I'd like to ask you. Yeah. How's your operations process? How do you feel? Do you feel supported? What's your leadership like? What's your business planning like? You know, what's the most important piece of tech that helps you grow your business? Where were you when you started and where are you now?
If they were selling you something within the platform, ask if
is there anything that they told you that would happen that hasn't happened? Yeah. That have you been overpromised and never delivered?
You know, you should also look at how long they've been, you know, talk to people that have been 4+ years with the company and then talk to people that have been there 90 to 120 days. We don't have that data. We can look in Redder. We can see how long people have been in a company. And I'd highly recommend that, maybe even going outside of the list that sometimes they give you that, you know, they may
don't
have
go off the list. Just go randomly.
Don't go off the list. You know,
go find them online and pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm talking to your company and got a few questions if you don't mind. I think that's great advice, Robert.
What's yours, Dave?
What kind of support you're looking for? If you're a loan officer doing 3 to 4 transactions a month, how do I get the 10? Do I get an assistant/loan partner or LOA? I think those are important questions to ask. And then to talk to people who have been on that journey within the company to see what it looks like. Someone who went from 3 loans to 10 loans. Because a lot of times people get promised assistance. They get to that number, they break their back, and they don't get it. So I think that's an important question. And then, you know, ask, is this the real rate sheet? or is this the 90-day rate sheet?
That's a great question.
I mean, we hear that over and over again. And I'm just blown away. And sometimes it's not even a slow burn up. It's just like one day it changes.
Oh, we got them. Smarmy, slimy, like just, why are lenders out there not more transparent with their pricing? Like, do they feel they don't bring enough value to justify the money they're, everybody knows we're making money. We're not, this isn't a not-for-profit industry.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't we just transparent with it?
Yeah. And when you lie to LOs or mislead them, you have unhappy people. And it's a constant thorn. So it's just our philosophy is it's just not worth it.
Not worth it.
Yeah.
How about you, Millsy?
Dave actually took mine. I'll go. You know, in the end of the day, I think we're all led by stories. I think stories are what sells, right? You know, and what inspires people. So, you know, there's some story that was told about that organization that, you know, is attractive to you and you want to go like live that story. Just, you know, validate it, you know, whatever it is that has you ready to go make a commitment to that company, be sure of it. Like look for validation, like look that there's proof, you know, even smaller, don't know granular ever, you know, I mentioned, you know, is somebody doing 100 million, somebody doing the look for that path, validate that it's happening there. But, you know, the things that you question, validate them, the things that you're attracted to, make sure that there is what you were sold them to be, you know, from there, I think a lot of, you know, a lot of questions on the person that you report to and their actually ability to help make decisions and react. Cause I see, you know,
how much juice do they have?
Yeah.
Can they get stuff done?
Can they affect me? To them and can the answer be had, or do they have to schedule three meetings to get the answer? And it wasn't important to this guy and this guy's traveling next week. And it's a month later and you're like, hey, what's going on with that? You know, we've talked to people like that. So, you know, what's the chain of command?
That's good.
Like really understand what's your chain of command. And is the guy you're going to, does he have any influence there? Cause he's got to fight for you. You need your leader to fight for you. And in this business and any company, that's the truth.
100%. Hey, listen, thanks so much guys for joining us. And hopefully you found some value in this episode. Go ahead and smash that subscribe button. Give us a like, make sure you tune in for the upcoming episodes. We're going to continue to just kick it around and hash out topics and hopefully bring some value to your day. Before we close, guys, I just noticed this. Are you both wearing EA appraisal swag?
I guess we are.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. I filled that out
well last week.
Hey, shout out to the best appraisal management firm in the company, EA Appraisals, our boy Will Eubanks down in Dallas, Texas. I got this shirt dropped on me last week. I guess, Dave, I felt special. I thought I was the only one that got this shirt.
We just noticed that now. My wife got a hoodie, too.
I got a nice swag pack, too. I didn't know. I didn't get the email, the memo from you guys. We were going to do this, though.
I was with you guys the other day, and I was going to bring my EA appraisal shirt, and I didn't want to make you, like, feel offended, so I wore my HMA shirt. But
all right. Will needs to sponsor the next podcast, then, it sounds like.
Will Eubanks, we appreciate you, man. You and Manny, tallest Mexican you'll ever meet. Appreciate you guys. What a great conversation, guys. I really appreciate the topic and enjoyed just kicking it around with y'all as always. Hey, if you're out there listening and we brought any value to your day at all, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and be sure to join us here for every episode of Lending Leadership with the Mortgage Pros. On behalf of Dave Holland and Tom Mills, this is Robert Filyaw. And thanks so much for joining us.
Great conversations. Thanks, guys.